Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
If you've ever wondered about the dark psychology behind history's most notorious murderers, Mind of a Serial Killer is the podcast for you. Find Mind of a Serial Killer on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a married sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Happy Friday. Welcome to the Annie Fry Show. It's been a morning. It's been a good day. It's been a great day. I just will remind you that we are 45 days from Donald Trump being inaugurated into the presidency, and it feels like every day is Christmas Day. We're going to talk to Stuart Rosenblum. My friend Stewie is going to be in here in about 20 minutes, a little bit less than 20 minutes. And I think that the economy is always one of the things that most people are paying attention to. Once Donald Trump gets in there, are things going to change? Are you going to actually feel it? Because it's like being like, yay, rah, red team won. That's good. But really, none of that matters if you don't benefit from it yourself. If you don't feel like it was for something, you know, other than just beating the air quotes bad guys. Newsflash, they're not bad guys. They're your neighbors, your family, your friends. The best outcome that can happen here is a persuasion for some of those people willing to open their minds that, hey, some of this stuff that we're headed into right now, you're right, it's better. Question I have for you today on the Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll is, when will you consume the news the most? Because when I... it's just stuff falling off the tables in here.
That was a period on that sentence.
Yeah, it was just emphatic. It wasn't a mic drop, it was a bag drop. When I think about leading into the election, the way that we consumed media... Now, we're in a little bit of a different position here than maybe you are yourself, but you could be at the edge of your seat, but it was full of a lot of anxiety. There was a lot of worry news watching taking place. The poll for today is, when will you watch it the most? In your mind, just assess your news habits and your willingness to like, go, yeah, let's see what's going on in the world today. Let's pull up our favorite news source website and see what the headlines are, or subscribe to the news alerts and so on and so forth. Is it before the election? Is it right after the election? Or are you really thinking that you're going to be like locked in around the inauguration? I understand that right now we're moving into the holiday season and you got a lot going on. But I just continue to think back to 2020, the holiday season in 2020. And I like immersed myself in all things not news for therapy purposes. The anxiety that led up to the election, which I don't think I had it in 2020 the way I had it in 2024. I did not want to lose the 2024 election the same way we lost the 2020 election. That was my biggest fear. And now, you know, every time a news alert comes across my phone, I'm like, ooh, what is it?
Yeah, that's actually why I'm tuning in more to news right now, is because it puts me in a good mood. It's a weird thing.
Right.
But and the complete opposite would be true if I were a progressive. I would be wanting to distance myself from it as much as possible. But I love reading what's happening, because while we're in kind of a waiting mode here until January 20th, it's good news. It's looking forward. It's forward momentum.
It's, you know, when you say if you were a progressive right now, you'd be like averting your eyes and attention all the time. That's how you get 38,000 people watching. Was it MSNBC?
That's exactly right.
That's how you do it. It's a lot of people would be like, oh, everybody's turned their back on him. No, go look at Fox's ratings after the election. You know, they have done well always comparatively to their competition. But people, if you're going to your familiar news source after you lose, you are probably going to take a minute, especially during the holiday season when it's like, I do have other things to do.
Right.
So I'm just curious about the way you're going to immerse yourself into being in the know. And we don't really have a choice here, but I will tell you, in 2020, it was a chore to figure out every single day, especially in November and December, with everything that was going on, because every day the same story was Joe Biden won? Question mark. And then,
right, because it was so close.
And I knew what was at stake. I knew from a listener standpoint, you're sitting out there right now and you want someone to come tell you it's going to be him. I knew as the host of this radio show that if you were listening, you wanted to tune into the radio and you wanted to hear me or whomever was talking to you say, it's going to be fine. And I never felt that. And I thought to myself, how do you approach that? How do you go about talking about this in a way that isn't going to drive people away? Because really, it's not like people are like, oh, I'm going to flip over to NPR and see what they have to say. You're going to listen to Christmas music, or you're going to listen to something else. I don't know that that's going to be the case right now. I'm excited to be on this ride and this journey with you as a listener that has been here through Biden years and through our time of, I mean, anxiety is like that. That's being anxious about it is the best way to describe what I was. I don't know that I was ever particularly scared. There might have been a few times where like, oh, Russia's invading Ukraine. And you're like, what does this look like in 2 weeks and in 1 year? When you see what was going on with Hamas there is an incredibly small percentage of people on this planet who know the full extent of how heinous what Hamas did in Israel is. And in a large part, that's a shame, because I think the attitudes would be very different if we all knew the full truth behind how absolutely evil October 7th was. You know, that there's just so much emotion, there's so much passion behind all of these news stories. And for 4 years, we've been drudging through this every day. You know, it's your reality, so you can stick your head in the sand, but that only works for so long. I don't feel comfortable. I don't feel blissfully ignorant. I just feel ignorant in that sense.
Yeah, and I think what we're looking forward to now is seeing not just a resolution of the things of the last 4 years, because when you talk about foreign policy, you talk about all these wars, you know, there's a very good possibility that we could see these things coming to an end. We don't know exactly how that'll play out, but not just, you know, righting the wrongs of the last 4 years. Also, doing things, it's weird to use the word progressively when talking about conservative politics. It's really weird to use it when you talk about reining in the federal government, but that's what we're looking forward to. And like you said yesterday, Annie, I just keep thinking about this.
Is it about the penguin?
It's mostly about the penguin jokes and the lack of understanding of which gender they were. Aside from that, though, the real points that you were making yesterday. The fact that we're going to go through this period of time where they're going to start cutting federal agencies. And our best guess, you said this, is that nobody will even notice. That's exciting.
For a period of time. For absolutely. That we're going to be like, when are they going to get around to this? They said they're going to do this. Man, they've cut 50% of the... What?
Yeah, exactly.
Come again? Put yourself in the shoes of a listener out there. You've been a listener to the station before, so you are somebody who, before you came into this, both you, Ryan and Brad, have been in this position. How do you feel, like, rank the three, least to most, that you will want to be glued to the play-by-play of the news?
Well, before the election, I was consuming every bit of data, every messaging point, every new thing that came out. So it's going to be hard to overcome that. But I can't say I'm consuming news any less now. I was just more, I think you said it, you're just more emotionally...
The drive behind it is a little different.
You're really, really anxious is probably the best word. I didn't feel overly anxious, but you're scrutinizing everything so much more than you are now. Even though I'm consuming news just as much now, I mean, it's a little tougher being in the industry here, but we all are watching every move. And in some sense, there's a lot less going on now because you're in the waiting period. So I would have to say before the election and then around the inauguration, secondly, because that's when the news is really going to become news again. Right now, we're in celebration mode. It's just fun.
Yeah. There's a lot of conversation right now. Like, you just name a name like Pete Hegseth. We can do an entire segment here on why Pete Hegseth is qualified, why it doesn't matter if he's qualified, because a point could be made if Donald Trump appointed him, then the Republican majority should confirm him. I mean, that's a perspective. It's not necessarily my perspective. I mean, even just bringing that up, like the whole Pete Hegseth thing, if Donald Trump wants him and they can't come up with a concrete, obvious reason that he should be disqualified, like, should he be disqualified from being considered from this position for accusations that don't even have, like, there's no, what was Brett Kavanaugh's crazy lady's name?
Christine Blasey Ford.
Oh,
thank you.
Brad, A plus again.
Good job.
I told him I was going to ask him that question before the show.
That
I said,
is
just
false.
Be ready. It is false. That was a lie. That was impressive. You know, with Christine Blasey Ford, a lot of people were saying, like, Kavanaugh got to face his accusers. It didn't go well for her. It went well for him eventually, but he should not have had to been, like, the credence that we give to these types of accusations, if it's real, it's real. But you've got to have people who are A, willing to go on the record about it, and B, in a position to back it up if you're going to try to destroy someone's future. And to me, it's just very, like, you know, these Republicans say, yay, Pete Hegseth, and these Democrats say, no, Pete Hegseth. If politics weren't involved here, the positions, the opinions would be different. And if it's just about politics, then it's not about qualifications. Am I wrong?
No.
Mm-hmm.
The more, too, since you brought up the Kavanaugh comparison, a lot of people are bringing up that comparison because it was a story that broke through.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those that people go, that was a moment where people overplayed their hand. And that's really the way you refer to it now.
All the way.
Yeah. Because when you mention Kavanaugh, even if you're on the left, you get that when people are mentioning that, they're talking about politically overplaying their hand, even if you disagree with it.
Yeah, I remember Alyssa Milano in the back getting escorted out of the room for holding a sign during the Kavanaugh hearings.
And you've said this about racism before, where if you make racism claims when there isn't actually any, it downplays, it sort of diminishes
it.
When there's real racism.
Same with sexual accusations.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so we're at that point now where they're going, oh, can we use this thing again? Can we try this again? Well, if there's no there and you're doing it again, then you're going to dilute it when there actually is a victim in the future. So this is, it's just dirty stuff.
I don't think that those types of stories are going to be what continue to pull people into the news. And to your point that you made before, Ryan, the assessment that we're making on a daily show right now, or I would say the liberties that we have right now, because I get to choose what we talk about, and Ryan does Wiggins America, and obviously he gets to choose what we talk about in that segment.
Mm-hmm.
What do you talk? Oh, it's B or not the B.
B or not the B.
Today's
we could
one.
Do more like ways to cheap out on Christmas if you wanted.
What was the website you got that from?
Cheapo.com or something. Something like that.
We get to kind of select what we want to discuss. I get to fill this show with, you know, news, breaking news when it happens. But we talk about a lot of things outside of just that on any given day right now. I really believe that come inauguration, especially, you know, it's not just like when Donald Trump gets in. If Joe Biden is pardoning Hunter in December, he needed to beat the sentencing, which is the timing of that. Like, why wouldn't he wait until his term was pretty much done and then do it? He needed to beat the sentencing so that Hunter Biden wouldn't be a convicted felon, because you're not a convicted felon until you've been sentenced. You're not a convicted felon until you've been sentenced. Nobody is a convicted felon until they've been sentenced. Period. Anyway, when you know that he timed it that way so that Hunter Biden wouldn't be a convicted felon because he wouldn't be sentenced, that makes sense in the timeline there. But there's still 45 days for Joe Biden to do some wild sugar before Donald Trump takes over. And there's no doubt in my mind that there are going to be some things that have us dropping our jaw leading into it. So I think that the crossover between the end of the Biden administration and what whoever is running this country wants to accomplish in that amount of time, and then the literal breaking news alerts that are going to come out of the Trump administration after he takes the oath of office and is the president once again. There's going to be so much news. Right now, it's kind of conceptual discussion that's fun to have because our side won.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all good. I'm happy mm-hmm. about that, of course. But once the inauguration gets here from somebody who's interested in news and politics and culture and the future of this country, whether you're on the right or the left, January is going to be an amazing time to be paying attention. I'm looking forward to it. I actually think that from a when you see me, my nose will be in my phone, which I try not to do as much these days with my children, you know, try to pay attention to them. I'm going to be on my phone a lot, reading news, watching the news pour in January for sure.
That's what we want. We want this to be a transformational time in American history where we get back to the basics, back to the Constitution. And that is going to take a lot of, you know, concrete chipping and sweeping away of things that have been built that are not supposed to be there.
Well, a lot of what people want to see is a better economical situation to live in this country. People want to see an economy that's going to work for them, that's not going to work for the government bloat that exists out there. People want to be able to pull up to the gas pump and afford a full tank of gas without having to like check the bank account before you decide, do I fill up or do I just put $20 in? I mean, super relatable, right? If you're going to the grocery store, you want to be able to make sure that you can afford the groceries that you need to put in your cart and the ones that you want to put in your cart as well. You're working your tail off. You want to make sure your money is working for you. That's why we're going to talk to Stewie when we come back. Stuart Rosenblum's going to be in studio with us. He is, of course, the president of Stewart's American Mortgage. He's my friend. I've refinanced with him twice. He is one of the most loyal sponsors of the show. And Stewie's going to come in and talk to us about, you know, interest rates, where we've seen them. We thought they'd be down maybe a little bit more than they are right now. But what does the market look like? And boy, is there going to be a huge impact come January 20th with Donald Trump taking the oath of office. Do we wait until January 20th to see the effects of Donald Trump on this economy? All those answers when we come back with Stuart Rosenblum in studio here on The Annie Fry Show. I was born without this. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Love that song. Thank you for being with us on a beautiful Friday afternoon. It's the holiday season, and we are so grateful that you're spending a little bit of your afternoon hustling and bustling right here with the Annie Fry Show. Stewie's in studio with us. Stewie, how you doing?
Good. How are you all doing?
We're doing well. Ryan, how are you? You get like 3 seconds.
Not as good as Stewie.
Not as good as Stewie?
No.
Who is?
He seems like he's doing real well, and I'm just doing a little below that.
So still good, though.
Yeah, still good. Good.
You look good.
Thank you,
look
very okay. much.
Oh, there
you
go. Stop.
Thank you.
Don't
you know what? You look
that.
Great, though. I look
don't,
good, but you look great.
Don't do that. The show ends at 3, guys. Stewie is my friend and sponsor of the show from Stewart's American Mortgage. I have refinanced my mortgage 2 times with Stewie, both times to get a lower interest rate, and I've got one of those really good low ones right now. They're not as low as they used to be, Stewie.
No, that was artificial, but you took advantage when you could.
Well, you told me to, so I did.
There you go.
I'm glad. I think you've saved me a lot of money. Stewie, I think that, you know, when people think back to how long did we spend, how many years, you would probably know better than anyone, Stewie, did we say like historic low interest rates? Because they just kept becoming historically low.
It was outrageous. It was artificial.
Why was it? Why were they so low?
The government was very, very worried about the overall economy. We were in uncharted territory. So here we are in a situation, everybody's staying home. The economy could potentially collapse. There was no liquidity in the bond market, which drives interest rates. People weren't buying bonds. Nobody knew what was going to happen. So all of a sudden, the Federal Reserve came in. They started buying these mortgage-backed securities, these bonds. And by them buying the bonds, all of a sudden, the interest rates start to drop. So they were afraid that if the interest rates weren't going to be lowered, that all of a sudden people weren't going to stop buying things. They're not working anymore. And boom, they're going to lower it to make sure people had the ability to go borrow and still spend to keep the economy afloat. Now, in hindsight, it was probably a big mistake. So the government infused a lot of cash into the economy at the same time, lowered the interest rates because they were just worried that there was going to be a major collapse. Looking back in it, what did it cause? Inflation. Huge inflation. So hindsight's 2020. They didn't do what they were supposed to do, but they didn't know what to do at the time. And you and I took advantage of the opportunities and got those little rates.
Hooray! Except for the pandemic part.
Yes.
So you're saying that the super... This is why I ask you this question. Because people listening right now, a lot of them have had mortgages when the rates... You could get rates in the twos. And they know about these historically low interest rates. And they're looking at rates right now and they're going, I'm going to wait for another one of those twos. And you're telling me that it took an extraordinary amount of circumstances and bad decisions?
Almost 100 years. I mean, the last time we had a pandemic was 1919.
Yeah.
So let's hope no one...
It was like a 100-year thing.
100-year thing.
If you didn't refinance in 1919, man, you were out of luck.
What are the rates on one of those 100-year mortgages?
I think a house then in those days was like $2,000.
I'll take one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know. Just to set the table, Stewie, the mortgage is, it's my biggest bill that I pay. I always say, like, it's got to be your biggest bill. And then I'm thinking, like, well, there are some high rollers out there who pay bigger bills than my mortgage. But for the majority of people listening right now, you look at your finances and the biggest expense you have is what you pay on your mortgage. So any money that you can save on that is a significant amount of money that's going to repeat every month when you make that payment. But it's not realistic. Is what I hear you saying.
2.7 is gone, and we don't want to see it come back. So, I mean, we'd like to have it.
What is a healthy rate?
I would say we're going to see probably in this fives and sixes. It really depends on how the overall economic condition or the climate is. We're kind of used to seeing rates in the fours and fives. And so when it hit 7% and 8%, people went nuts. But if you look over, outside of COVID, if you look over historically from the 70s till now, the average rate was 7%. So, and if you talk to your parents or my parents, believe it or not, they were paying rates of 15, 16, 17, 18%. My dad told me he got a 13% mortgage at the time that he bought his house, and he thought that was awesome.
Yeah.
So the rates you see today are lower than overall, but because we're accustomed to seeing the lower numbers, that's where we're at.
What's the highest we've seen them here since they were small?
The highest,
like in the last five, six years.
I think that we're at the lowest that we've seen in the last 2-3 years right now. So this is a great opportunity. And this is a conversation we have with a lot of our customers right now. Should I wait to refinance? We thought the rates were going to be lower right now. What do I do? I think it's a mistake to wait. Yes, they potentially can go lower, but you know, our climate, the political climate, the world climate, there's a lot of unknowns going out there. So people are saying, I don't want to refinance, spend $3,000 in doing it. If you get the bagel loan, there's no closing costs. You refinance right now, especially if you're in the sevens. You refinance right now, you get a lower rate, or you shorten your term with the same payment, and you'll be ahead of the game. Later on, if the rates go down again, guess what? You can do it again.
Which is what I did twice. Yep. And fortunately have one of those in the twos. Ryan, you had a question?
Are we in a position right now, Stewie, where, you know, everything's sitting right on the precipice? You know, there's a lot of change coming, but it could go either way. You know, we could go into a lot of people saying, well, a recession's around the corner. We've inflated everything for so long. We got to have the bottom drop out at some point. Or reverse, hey, Trump's in office. Good times are going to roll again. Something's going to happen. Does that mean that rates will be affected, or could they just stay where they're at right now?
Well, I think next month the Federal Reserve is going to meet. They're going to probably cut interest rates again 0.25%. Yesterday's jobs report was better than expected. So the economy is still doing okay. I think you're going to see them slow down their cuts. But as my grandfather used to say to me, a good old Jewish European grandfather, nobody knows anything. Mm-hmm. And I do believe when the Trump administration comes in, I think you're going to see improvement overall across the board. I think the markets right now are a little bit scared. So the interest rates are higher than what they could be maybe in 6 or 12 months. But you don't know. So that's why you have to take advantage now, refinance that loan now, do the cash out that you need, and then don't worry about what tomorrow is going to bring. If it's improved, you get it done. If it's not improved, you're ahead of the game.
So Ender says, he's one of our frequent commenters on our YouTube channel, Stewie. He says, what does Stewie see for the future in, say, a year or so? I'm mainly window shopping, but would really like interest rates to drop a bit more. So if people are thinking about maybe making a move, I want to build a house. I've talked to you about that. I've wanted to build a house, but I'm looking at my interest rate right now, and I'm like, gosh, I don't know if this would be the stupidest financial decision I could make to move into a house that's going to have a more than, well, near twice the rate that I have right now, because it seems like it's almost free money right now. the market's going to be affected. The rates are, I'm sure, going to be affected. What do you say to these people who are just starting to window shop?
Well,
like Ender says,
buy now. This is the slow season traditionally. The winter time, less buyers out there. The sellers are a little more flexible in trying to sell their house. Buy right now. If you wait to spring, which is what everybody wants to do, you're going to be in a situation where the rates are maybe a little bit lower. The bidding wars are going to be outrageous. So the prices are going to shoot up. You'll be lucky to get the house that you want because there'll be 10, even 20 contracts being presented to that seller. So buy it now. Maybe you pay a little bit higher of an interest rate that you want, but later on, rates go down, you can refinance it for free. So you have more buying power this minute than you're going to have in the spring.
It really does make sense that if, you know, Ender, you're waiting to buy when rates go down, you are not the only one. So if rates do go down, but the market gets flooded with buyers, then purchase price goes up. You might not come out ahead in that setup. So if you find what you're looking for, if you're just window shopping and you do find what you're looking for and you can afford to make that purchase, then you just lock in a bank loan refinance down the road and you get the lower rate and the lower price on the house.
Yeah, when you just said it, you can refinance for free. That is the reason to buy, because at any point it drops, you go, oh, hey, it's lower.
Let's do it.
And it takes away the fear of buying. You know, I do real estate and stuff. It takes away the fear of buying when rates are high, because you can go, well, it doesn't matter. At least there's going to be less competition while they're high, and then I can just refinance for free.
Yeah. Do you remember during COVID and post COVID, people were buying house without inspection contingencies?
Oh, yeah.
Financing contingencies.
Sight unseen.
$20,000 above it. You could see that again. And so you're talking about lowering the rate and lowering the payment. How about you may not even get the house?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, it's going to be outrageous. And we're predicting that. We're seeing that develop already. Buy now. This is really a smart way to go.
I've seen just recently, and this has not been more than the last 6 months or so, just starting to finally see houses that aren't saying as is anymore. Because they were up until the middle of last year, they were still at all as is.
It's crazy.
Why would you do anything to the house and fix it up if you're going to get multiple offers?
Exactly.
Above asking price.
That says that, you know, we're finally seeing a little bit move to the buyer's side, a little bit. I don't know if it'll last, but that's where I'm seeing it now.
Yeah, we're seeing like 3 or 4 contracts being presented to a seller versus 10 or 20.
Right.
On those more advantageous houses or attractive houses. But there are houses on the market that aren't moving either. So this is like I say it over and over again, buy it now, because you wait, it's not going to happen. Then people say, oh, yeah, I heard you say this, but I didn't do it. And now I'm stuck.
Yeah.
Sui, I've talked to you a lot about I did a cash out refinance. One of the times I did a refinance with you, it was cash out because we had a deck on our house that when you walked on it, it swayed back and forth. It's like a second story walk out.
It was fun.
It was bad. I am not somebody who's like, I have to have the nicest deck in the neighborhood, but I did have to have one that wouldn't fall over. We did a cash out refinance and was able to get the super low rate that we still have right now. But I record credit card debt, Stewie. People are so burdened by credit card debt. And a lot of people have a lot of equity in their home, too, now that maybe they didn't have before because prices are so far up. I think that the peace of mind that can come from addressing the credit card debt that's eating up every dollar that comes in your paycheck, it gets into relationships. It burdens people. It's the holiday season and people are trying to make, we've talked about this a lot on the show since we've been holiday shopping. I cannot believe, like, the sales feel like higher prices than what you would normally buy in like May, just on a regular day. It doesn't feel like you're saving money anywhere right now. That means the credit card's getting swiped even more right now. The cash out refinance of the bank loan where you don't have to pay to refinance, like there are no closing costs to do it. You've helped a lot of people manage credit card debt, expenses that they're not able to afford by helping them access that equity in their home.
Oh, we have two great stories, and they're 97.1 Annie Fry listeners all the time. One is a husband wanted to surprise his wife for the holidays, came in, did a cash out refinance. She was kind of oblivious to the financial affairs of the house, so she just signed the papers accordingly. Took $50,000 out, some money to pay off credit card bills, but to do a whole brand new kitchen, and that's going to be her holiday present, which was awesome. Her payment, or his payment, went up $5.30. That's it.
Smart move,
it
mister.
It was awesome. His cash flow is in great position. He got this for his wife. So that was one great story.
That also, too, is an investment in the value of your home, too. So,
right, you're
I mean, like,
lose
you're taking
money.
That money out of the equity of your house, but you're putting it back in.
Right.
And getting a new fancy kitchen.
Yeah, and she'll be really happy. Happy wife, happy life.
Amen. There you go. So, hear that, Ryan?
Yeah.
What's that?
Happy wife, happy life. The second great story is this couple wanted to buy for his father a 1967 or 68 Corvette. And it was his dream car for years and years and years. The father was in the late 70s, maybe early 80s. And they did a cash out refinance. And for Christmas last year, this is the last year story, they went out and took the cash and bought, and they found the car and they gave it to him on the holiday. Mm-hmm. And their payment actually did not go up. So you have to look at your overall picture, whether you can improve your financial position or not, whether you're at a rate in the sevens and you go to the sixes, or whether or not you go from a 30-year to a 20-year. We had a customer that refinanced from a 30 to a 20. His payment did not go up. He knocked off 8 years on the loan because he's at a higher interest rate than what the 20-year could offer. So there's all kinds of different angles and opportunities to save money. The holiday season's here. New Year's resolutions are starting to be contemplated. Make the move now. Take advantage now. You don't have to worry about what's going to happen in the future because, as we said before, you can always redo it again. So do it now. Get the advantage, save the cash flow, and improve your quality of life, and you'll be ahead of the game.
Yes, Stewart's American Mortgage is a sponsor of the show, and I talk about the bagel loan all the time, but I have used it myself twice. And it's, you know, it's one thing if you're like, I don't sponsor scooters, but if I'm like, drink scooters coffee, I am a user of the bagel loan. I have done it twice. It's hard to sit here and explain how smart of a move this is and listen to myself say that over and over again and not assess my own personal situation. And the experience working with you, Stewie, was so simple. The close, if you're needing a quick close, how fast can you close?
10 days.
10 days.
10 days. We can make it in time for the holidays.
That's way faster than I have ever closed.
Can you... could people listening right now on December 6th have cash before the holidays?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can have it done 10 days. We close by the 16th, by the 20th. You can have the money in pocket right under the tree or right by the
And no closing costs.
No closing costs.
So it doesn't cost you anything.
No, zero. Bagel looks like a zero. Easy, simple. That's why we invented it.
That's right. 314-324-4440. Stewie, thanks for coming in today. Love having you in the holiday season. I appreciate everything. Brian and Brad can tell you, like, being able to come in here and do radio where people turn on the radio and it's free. It's also free to turn it off. We don't get to do what we do without great partnerships and friendships like yours. So you're a good man who does good business, a customer myself, but also good friends. So thanks for being
here. Thanks, and you're great friends, and thanks for having me. And happy, happy holidays, guys.
Thank you.
Happy holidays to you. All right, 314-324-4440. If you are interested in contacting Stewie, he does receive text messages at that number, and it is his personal number. So if you have any questions, if you're not sure you want to get into the whole thing yet, or if you just want to start the conversation, you can reach out to him at 314-324-4440 or just Google bagel loan. Thank you, Stewie. We will see you again soon. Let's take a quick break and hand it over to the B, or not the B, in Wiggins America next. I think Donald Trump's a big fan of this song.
He was Yay, it's doing the song that I love.
The Trump dance.
It's for you, Ryan.
To Ryan's jam.
The Trump dance is still a thing, man. It has not peaked. I think this will be like 4 years of this.
I think it's, I'm not even joking, there will be a picture of Donald Trump doing the Trump dance in the Smithsonian.
I hope so. Which remember one? When somebody made a tweet museum?
Which Smithsonian?
Yeah.
The main one. Is there a second one?
Oh my! There's like
yes, 17
like the Air and Space Museum.
Are there? I didn't know that.
It's natural history all along the National Mall. There's a bunch of them.
Do you even know anything?
Yeah,
I'm focused on other things right now.
Like what?
The B or not the B?
All right, let's do it. Let's not.
Wiggins.
Let's do it.
Oh, Wiggins.
The B or not the B?
Thank you very much for that introduction. Puppy. And if you want to see a very cute puppy, you should log on right now and watch us do the Bee or Not the Bee while passing around a fantastically cute puppy who's just looking with his little our little eyes. She's just got
that's
eyes.
That's what they do.
She's got eyes and she's looking at things. Oh my gosh.
Kisses for Godfather Ethan.
All right, these are stories. that are either from the Babylon Bee, which would make them fake news, or they're real. I'll read the headline. You tell me which is which. First one, cryptocurrency is stupid, says nerd without mega yacht.
Bee?
Yep, that's the bee. His name is Johnny Thompson or something. It says
Johnny Donkin?
Yeah, Johnny Donkin.
What are the odds?
Funky bunch.
Thompson told a friend he thought the idea of blockchain currency was dumb and that people who invested are stupid idiots. The sources confirmed he made the comments while not riding aboard a giant yacht in the Caribbean. I think these crypto bros are so stupid, just wasting their dollars on theoretical nonsense, Thompson said. I mean, who wants to have to deal with the headache of having $1 billion in the bank? That sounds exhausting. No, sir.
Is any of you boys, Ethan, Brad, Ryan, any of you actually participate in anything crypto, Bitcoin, whatever it is?
This is a sore subject for me.
Why?
I invested in Bitcoin a few years ago when it was down at like 30,000. And it went up to about 50. And then the app I was using decided, we're not going to do crypto anymore. And they sold it without me knowing it.
Is that legal?
I guess if they give you notice, which they did. But I was like, I just bought it long term. I was just going to hang on to it. Now it's at 100,000. I would have like tripled my money.
Is that money?
Well, if you cash it back into dollars, it is. But I mean, there are places that take Bitcoin as currency. And it's shot up like crazy now with Trump in, because the people he's appointing into these positions, mm-hmm. they're very, very, very pro crypto. So
that is something I feel like on the show that we should talk about more. I have zero interest in it because I, A, completely don't understand it, and B, don't really take it seriously. But I probably should. That's probably from a place of ignorance.
So the chat is talking about this a little bit right now, but Haley Welch, the Hawk 2 girl.
Well, man. That's what I was going to ask. Kay. Yeah, I read a thread of this.
Yeah, I have.
But when I read the thread, I'm like, I don't understand what they're saying.
Ryan, you could probably explain it a little bit better than me, but basically she started her own cryptocurrency.
Not the Hawk 2 part. Don't explain that.
No, not that part. No.
Okay. Well, you see, she goes...
Family show. We've got a puppy in here for that. Love.
Cover her ears. For goodness sake.
Yeah, cover Winnie's
my
ears when you talk
godchild.
About her.
Sweet godchild. And... it basically, I don't know if you would say it fell apart, but basically it has screwed over a bunch of people.
Yeah. As far as I understand it, she wasn't her. Like, she knows all about crypto. Somebody came to her and was like, we're going to create a new crypto coin, right? That's the origin of it.
I think so, yeah.
And they said, we're going to have your name attached to it basically as the public facade. She said, great, I'll make $1 billion. And apparently she did make pretty good money, but the whole thing was... almost a Ponzi scheme, it sounds like, because mm-hmm. they knew the thing would shoot up and then drop. And so everybody who was in on the inside made a bunch of money. Those who didn't lost a bunch of money.
Jeez.
It's a mess.
What I want to know is who...
for correct. Real? That, this is real, yeah.
This is real.
Who would invest money into someone's cryptocurrency that got famous the way she did?
Well, because if you jump on the wave at the right time, you can make a boatload of cash. Yeah.
It's what do they call it? A pump and dump? Everybody jumps in.
Yep.
The price goes
up.
That's
what you do when you're breastfeeding and you're drinking alcohol. Mm-hmm. Oh, did you know that? That's true.
I did know that. Yeah.
Not the bee.
Not the bee. Exactly.
Pump and dump.
But they sell it off and then they sell high and then that causes it to crash. So if you're left holding the bag, you get screwed.
Yeah. If you pump your breast milk and then you go to the bathroom, that's called a pump and dump
melon
also.
Milk?
No, you don't. What do you mean go to the bathroom?
You know, number two, pump and then dump.
We were due one for this week.
In theory, that's right, but that's
right?
Not what it means.
Not to be.
No, you pump the alcohol-laden milk, and then you have to throw it away, which if you've breastfed and done that, there's so much work. Uh-huh. That's like soul-crushing.
Mm, yeah,
you have to really love alcohol
that.
To do that.
Was it worth it?
Okay.
Next question. We'll be at 125, but
that was the first one. That was number one. Here's number two. All right. Robot persuades dozens of other robots to walk out on their jobs.
Ooh, toughy. Real. I don't know.
I'm going to call it real.
I am as well.
yeah, this is real.
Oh, no.
It might be tempting to think this whole thing was staged for internet consumption, but no, it happened in China. Shanghai, the tech company where it happened, has confirmed that it was actually real.
China?
They had a recording of the robots talking to each other, and it says this.
This sucks.
Are you working overtime? The small robot said, starting the conversation. I never get off work, the other robot answered. So you're not going home? I don't have a home. Then come home with me, the little robot said. That's real. It's real, and it wasn't a stunt. And then they all the robots in the room quit their jobs and followed the little robot out the door.
Do you want to hear robots having this conversation in robot voice, or do you want to hear it be in normal voice?
Oh, no, robot voice for sure.
Like an attempt at a normal voice be scarier?
Yes.
Than like, I don't have a home?
Yeah, I don't have a home.
So I have to admit, I got a little distracted looking at Winnie for a second.
She's
so
falling asleep on
I
you.
Heard, well, I heard the start of, like, you know, the statement, but then I was like, wait. As you started talking about it, I was like, wait, this has to be the bee, right? So I had to, you know, be reminded that it was real. That is insane.
Yeah, apparently this gets even deeper because there's protocols that are to prevent this kind of thing happening, apparently. No. And this Shanghai team's competitor hacked into their robots. They didn't force them to do this. They just removed those, those stop gap
don't
things.
We know how this movie ends? What are we doing?
You wrote a book about this.
I wrote a book about this.
Yeah,
it's called
The
Life
Grocery
of
List.
Human. And you can also pick that one up. I guess there's so many books that I wrote. They're all good. I mean, whatever.
The algorithms are all amazing. It's just it's unbelievable.
It's obsessed with Al.
the answer though is that we don't know how this ends because Terminator 2 is canon. Terminator 3 and everything after is all mess. We have no idea.
Apocryphal.
Yeah. Next one. In last-ditch attempt to prevent Trump from taking office, Democrats start World War III.
Real! Real! Real!
Oh, anybody else care to weigh in?
I'm going to call it the B, but man, it could be real here in a day or two.
Tiebreaker?
Winnie?
She says
it's the
B. It's right. It is the B. While all efforts to indict Trump, remove him from state ballots, imprison him, and assassinate him were unable to keep him from winning in a landslide victory in last month's presidential election, Democrat Party leaders were hopeful that their emergency plan of plunging the globe into nuclear conflict and a subsequent post-apocalyptic hellscape would do the trick. Quote, we hoped it wouldn't come to this, but we've got to do what's necessary, said one source within the Biden White House.
Jackie says, I need my book signed, Wiggins, at Annie Fry. You know what I think I'm going to do? You know that guy who tracks Elon Musk and Taylor Swift's airplane?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to track your SUV and tell people, like, he's going to be at the Ruler Foods at 8 o'clock next Thursday.
That's fine. I mean, you can run me off the road, but I'll be honored.
Like, it's because I'm famous.
Oh, it's a fan.
Yeah. What if somebody's pointing a gun at me? They must want their book signed.
What if you would be the guy who would be like, "Oh, you just want me to autograph something for you, right?"
Uh-huh. Say we do a separate event, a signing event at the Ruler Foods.
Could people get their book signed? Could people get their grocery list book signed if they donate something at Ruler Foods on Wednesday
while getting groceries?
By
absolutely.
Me?
Oh my gosh,
Annie will sign that book for you.
If you buy his book, he does not care who signs it.
If you read it.
That's
I don't even care if you buy it.
Oh,
just
man.
Read it.
All right. Let's take a quick break here. Next hour, we've got next question. Any Ask Us Anything questions, get them in the YouTube chat. Let's find out what we missed during the week when we return. Don't go away.
Get more at 971talk.com.